We now turn to Part 3 of Book 5, Chapter 1, which is on public works. The nested titles here are a little complicated, but we have Chapter 1, called Of the Expenses of the Sovereign or Commonwealth, Part 3, called Of the Expense of Public Works and Public Institutions, and within that Part 3, we are considering Article 1, which is called Of the Public Works and Institutions for Facilitating the Commerce of the Society. By public works, Smith had in mind roads, bridges, canals, and harbors, and keep in mind the 18th and later the 19th centuries saw a building boom in Great Britain in these areas. Smith overall was a big fan of infrastructure. He saw it as extending the possible realm for commerce and trade. In general, Smith was a fan of finance by tolls. He saw that tolls are a relatively equitable way of paying for public works. They help finance the public work, and in general, a toll was consistent with local control of the road, bridge, or canal. Nonetheless, Smith issued a major caution about financing public works with tolls. He was worried that if tolls became a major source of government revenue, governments would set tolls too high, this would choke off commerce, it would make the public works less valuable, and it would stunt economic growth. So Smith favored modest tolls and did not want governments relying on tolls as a way of funding themselves. Smith also believed that public works were better maintained at the local or provincial level rather than the national level. He understood that there was local corruption, but he thought nonetheless there would be greater accountability at the local level than at the level of a nation or empire. Smith also argued that some business measures required extraordinary protection, and here he cited the joint stock trading companies, one example of which being the East India Company. Smith favored granting temporary monopolies to these trading companies to trade in a certain area, as the East India Company had had a monopoly to trade in India since the very early 17th century. Smith saw this as somewhat akin to a patent, that it was an initial reward to someone who was an innovator or pathbreaker, and that this would benefit all of society by opening up the trade channel. Yet, Smith stressed these monopolies really should be temporary, and he worried that they tended to evolve into permanent grants of privileges. He saw the temporary monopoly as better, because the permanent monopoly would result in higher prices from choking off free trade, higher prices to consumers, that is, and that also not letting other people trade in India or whatever other area abroad it may be would stifle business opportunities for Great Britain. Smith also favored the joint stock company form for ventures such as canals. Smith argued that canals were too costly and too risky for private fortunes to bear, and thus the joint stock company, created by a grant from a government, was the proper way to proceed here. Overall, it's often debated just how far Smith was straying from laissez-faire in this section of the book. Overall, Smith is best read as really not being very close to laissez-faire, but it's striking, I think, that in this section, he's actually trying to minimize the role of the national government and increase the role of private joint stock companies. In this regard, Smith is still looking for a relatively competitive and also commercial means for supplying infrastructure. To read more on this topic, including background reading, well, you can just Google History of the British Canal System, Google History of British Turnpikes, you'll come across many sources. There's a very good article by E.G. West called Adam Smith's Public Economics, which discusses this part of the book. Jacob Viner has a famous piece called Adam Smith and Laissez-Faire. Those two pieces are available through JSTOR. And finally, in our Development Economics course, view our video on the history of the East India Company.